You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It's 7:06 on a Monday morning. It's August 18th, 2025. Nice to have you along here live from Lake Wissota. Let's see, we've got Selena Heller standing by from Up North News. We've got meteorologist Brittany Merlot here as well. Parker Olson is producing this shindig down in Madison Studio A2. Kristen Lyerly is somewhere between here and Peru, and we'll eventually hear from her again, but had a great time off. But let's go to Brittany on the weather, because it has been not inconsistent. I mean, you just don't know. There's these very localized pockets of heavy rain in places, and I'm a little nervous about southeast Wisconsin again today. But even in like the overnight hours, I saw, like, you know, up here on Lake Wissota, we got maybe a half inch of rain, but then there were some places not that far away that got 4 inches of rain or more. It is truly a case today where, once again, you really need to pay attention to that local forecast, and even that can only tell you so much.
Exactly. Yes, we've got a big low pressure system that is draping in a warm front for a good half of the state, and then a cold front behind that, and it's just bringing rounds of rain today. So it's already moved in. It started last night, obviously. Like Pat was saying, some places getting some heavy rainfall, others not so much. So those rivers are starting to rise in certain areas. The Trempealeau River is expected to hit a minor flood stage at Arcadia this afternoon, so a flood warning is out there. There's a flood watch further south at Dodge, and then we're also looking at those southeastern Wisconsin rivers. The Fox River still in an action level at Waukesha and New Munster, and the Rock River and Bark River are still high. Plus Lake Michigan, those waves very big today. There's a beach hazard statement out there for 3 to 6 foot waves. So stay away from that, rip currents and such, but you won't want to be at the beach today. It's just dark and dreary, cloudy, overcast. We're not looking at many sunspots at all. I think the only sunshine across the state this morning is in Shawano right now. Everybody else is looking at some rain rolling through, and, you know, some places are going to get heavy. We are looking at this afternoon and into the evening, some storms starting to spark again, and that's where a lot heavier rainfall is going to be within those. So a good half an inch widespread, if you get underneath that, up to an inch is likely, but then some places are looking at 2 to 3 inches pretty quickly underneath these storms. So it really depends on where they start to spark, where they sit, how big they get, and how fast they're moving. So we are looking at some places looking at potentially localized flash flooding. I mean, if you get another 2 to 3 inches on top of what we've already gotten, I was looking at places over the weekend, Madison, Milwaukee area. Milwaukee got spared, only less than a quarter of an inch so far, but Madison area, you're approaching near an inch already.
Wow. And by the way, not just us, Hurricane Erin, out in the Atlantic is not going to make landfall, but I mean, all along the East Coast, they're going to be affected by the surf. I would imagine air travel would be something as well, because this thing went from 0 to 60, or in this case, 0 to Cat 5, in record time. That is concerning.
Yes, it is. I'm glad it's staying further away and isn't targeting the mainland just yet. But I mean, I think the Outer Banks, North Carolina, stuff like that, it's going to be pretty wild over there. And the really interesting thing is the low pressure that's over us today, all this system is going to join that Hurricane Erin probably on Thursday.
Ooh,
out there.
Yep. Okay. So keep that in mind if you're traveling out east later. Good morning from Tigerton, writes Rob on YouTube. It's cloudy and 60 degrees, quarter inch of rain overnight. Saturday, Tigerton picked up 2 inches of rain. Worked on my mowers, had a mowing job yesterday. Tigerton had a major fire Saturday night, Rob says. when an apartment complex burned down. Three families lived there. They got out safely but lost their belongings. It was a historic building built in the 1800s. Oh. It was the old Tigerton Hotel for many years, then the Crossroads Bar and Grill before it closed before COVID hit in early 2020. They had great softball teams back in the day. It was a Tigerton landmark. I took pictures and it got on the Green Bay TV stations. I shared them on some of the civic media websites. They used 540,000 gallons of water and 10 fire departments in that Tigerton area to help with putting out the fire. And there is some light fog there this morning. So again, we're glad that everybody got out safely. And we are very thankful to firefighters and first responders who, you know, have to do that kind of a work, have to give up their weekend, you know, to save lives and put things out like this. So
absolutely. A historical thing too.
I know. Appreciate the update from you, Rob, on there. And by the way, we appreciate Rob's notes all the time. Anybody's welcome to jump in on here on YouTube or on Facebook, Up North News, Facebook, Up North News, YouTube, Civic Media, Facebook, Civic Media, YouTube. Pop on up with your comments. Let us know about how your day went as well. Brittany, you described your weekend as relaxing.
Yeah, it was. How about yours?
Well, mostly the same. Saturday was rainy for the first 2/3 of the day. Yeah. And we got a lot done here, including something that we've put off for a while in our advancing age. And so if you ever notice that Pat starts booking guests about retirement planning,
oh boy,
it's because I realized if you have a, shall we say, a checkered employment history, you know, there are some people who have worked at the same job for forever, and it's very easy for them to track like one 401k or one pension plan. By the time I got done building this spreadsheet of all the places that I've worked and all the little pockets of, you know, 401ks or pensions or other things that are out there, I'm like, I'm going to need a professional to help out with this. Or I book them as guests on the radio show and I ask them hypothetical questions.
So let's say a 61-year-old man has had seven careers.
Had seven careers and has this much in this. How would you start to, you know, line up the disbursement of those funds? And at what age would you start taking Social Security? Just generically, hypothetically speaking, of course. So
it was a productive weekend.
It was very productive. Don't get me wrong, but being a pack rat, you know, it works both ways. There are things that I never would have found if it hadn't been for just stacks and stacks of statements that I saved over the years and never really looked at them until it was time to look at them. And then they were there. But also, so much paper there that does not need to be there. And it keeps you from finding the things that you've got to find. And by the way, I don't know who said we're going to paperless. We are not paperless in this world yet. Not yet. Any stretch. No. So yeah, if a relaxing weekend means sitting right here where you see me now and just going through all kinds of financial statements and things, it was. But there was also some sweet corn freshly picked, you know, from the local farm that we had, along with some steak over the weekend. There was the Dueling Pianos show that I talked about on Friday night up at Schutze's Tavern outside of Chippewa Falls. There was a little bit of a quick boat ride later on Saturday when the rain ended, and we got such sunny skies, and that was really nice. So
we got caught on a Wisconsin duck in a jet boat, the Wild Thing jet boat in the storm, in storms multiple on Saturday.
You were on a jet boat when the storms came through.
Yes. Oh my gosh, the skies got dark. It was probably one of those wall clouds, you know, too. It looked, all these people from all over the place were on this jet boat, and they were like taking video of it.
Taking video of their pending doom.
Like, oh dear.
Well, at least if anything happens to me, you know, it'll be documented. Like, okay, well, you got that going for you. So,
Brittany, you talked about Arcadia. And last weekend in Arcadia, we were at Ashley for the Arts, and the porta potties were flooding because they had flash flooding last weekend.
No. Oh, what a horrible thing to flood.
Porta potties.
Never think about the porta potties.
That lines up with something Sherry said on Friday. I talked about the thunderstorm that approached, but then missed us, where we were at this Dueling Pianos thing under a big top. And I mentioned last hour how she's like, let's not sit by the center pole of the tent just in case, you know, the thunderstorm comes through. But at some point she had to take a break, and she came back and she's like, I have never been that nervous in a porta potty, thinking
it's gonna blow
of all
away.
The ways to go, a lightning strike to a porta potty. Just, you know.
Yeah, no thanks.
No, no thanks. Do your thing and get out of there as quickly as possible. So I'm glad we missed that. And Brittany, thank you for the update. We'll talk to you next hour as well.
Sounds good.
All right. Don't forget, you can sign up for our newsletters, upnorthnewswi.com. And in today's newsletter, let's see, there's a couple of different things in here. We've got a story that includes a salute to Wisconsin Timber Rattlers play-by-play announcer Chris Maring, who for more than 20 years has shown up to the mic without missing a game. In more than 20 years, more than 3,000 broadcasts, that's more than 27,000 innings for the Brewers' high Class A team. So, I mean, Parker, you hit a few Madison Mallards games.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this is 20 years worth of perfect attendance on there.
That's crazy. Cause like RPA guy, he misses games during a season. he's not going 20 years without missing a game. That's crazy.
You know, when you mention play by play guys, you know, Josh Maurer, one of the radio play by play guys for the Brewers,
I believe. Yeah.
I heard him the other day, while we were on the boat ride later on Saturday, and it reminded me, I was going to mention this to you, that you and Josh Maurer, I mean, your voices aren't exactly alike, don't get me wrong, but it was in kind of that same vein, and I thought, you know, maybe Parker wants to do play-by-play.
I would love to.
Of doing games.
If we can do some high school games in the Madison area, let me know. I'll do it.
Sure.
If you're listening, Luke.
Well, look, if Chris Maring's been doing this for over 20 years, I don't know how much longer he's going to be there. So, you know, there might be an opening there. You never know. Also, in the newsletter today, 10 homes from across Wisconsin that have been featured on HGTV programs. And then finally, a bird usually found on the Gulf Coast and in Central and Southern America made a surprise appearance last week in Columbia County, Wisconsin, in the Mud Lake Wildlife Area. Details there on the subtropical wood stork and why it might have been this far out of its usual range. Again, that's all in today's newsletter. Sign up for it over at upnorthnewswi.com. And yes, there is definitely, Parker, you say it and it happens. Luke Mathers jumping right on the text line there to say, I'm always listening.
With that, with that gift that he sent of the little mouse and massive ears, I get the feeling that he's just listening without the radio. He can probably hear me in A too.
He is. He's finely tuned that way. So,
you know, it would be fun to announce the Savannah Bananas.
That would be very fun.
Oh, I mean that's not even announcing that. That's show business right there, which would be a lot of fun. Don't get me wrong. And when I mentioned HGTV and some of the Wisconsin homes that were on there, I think I've said before that we put HGTV on the weekends, and it's just kind of the background wallpaper. You know, we don't like watch it intently, but I'm not going to watch, like, you know, golf or some of the other, you know, movies and things that are on there. So HGTV's on. I would just like to make this pitch to HGTV. Could you retire the phrase open concept? Everybody said, oh, I want an open concept kitchen. I want an open concept living space. You know, that's what everything is now. Everything's open. We don't have the very defined four walls, you know, in every room anymore. I mean, it's now, that's like saying, oh, I would like a roof. Okay, it's news if you don't want a roof on there. And the same goes, it would be news if you didn't want an open concept. So HGTV, you can let that go at any point. We're going to talk to Selena Moore about Wisconsin Dells and some of the shows that she was not part of, but was watching. That's all coming up. A local update is next for some of you. I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Doubleheader baseball today by the Milwaukee Brewers, looking to start a new winning streak after setting a franchise record 14 wins in a row on Saturday before an extra inning loss yesterday to wrap up their series in Cincinnati. Now it's off to Wrigley Field, 5 games in 4 days against the Cubs, starting with a doubleheader today because of a makeup game from a rainout earlier this season. So the makeup game, pregame coverage begins at 12:45 this afternoon. And then the second game of the doubleheader is going to be played tonight. So that pregame will start at 6:30 this evening on several Civic Media stations all across the network here. Coming up in 30 minutes, we'll be talking to Jimmy Kuska a bit more about sports and the Brewers' win streak. And then Jane Matinere will join us just a little before 9 and before you catch her show here following this one on the Civic Media Radio Network. And in, just a little over 10 minutes, we'll be talking to Matt Rothschild and Marisa Strano about the idea of allowing for citizen initiatives, letting ordinary folks collect signatures and get new laws and or constitutional amendments up on the ballot. So stick around for that. But Selena Heller from Up North News joins us now, and we're going to talk a bit about Wisconsin Dells. You're passing through there as part of your annual trip, and I was talking in the last hour about variety shows. You don't really see them on TV anymore, but there's still plenty of places to catch a good show, the Wisconsin Dells certainly being one of them. And so you wanted to share just a little bit of the Wisconsin Dells live show experience with us today.
Yes, we love the attractions in the Dells. So one of the things is the Legacy Dinner Theater, and they have concert series throughout the year, so different shows. And then right now they have going on the Sneaky Pete Wild West Dinner Show, and it's really fun. You can boo the villains, the bad guys, and cheer on the heroes like the sheriff. And on Saturday night we went, and it was like, it's a multi-million dollar 700 seat state-of-the-art theater, and it was sold out on Saturday night. And Sneaky Pete goes through August 31st, and it's an original show. It's really just fun. And so this is Tim, one of the co-writers of the show itself. It's just, it incorporates all of the things that make the Dells kind of thing. It's in a really funny way. It's a funny tale of how the Dells became the Dells. And here's Tim.
We wanted to do something that not only for the Dells, that honors the Dells. And, of course, our story is 100% not true. Matter of fact, in our little theme song, we say, the story we will tell is how the Dells became the Dells. Not really. but it's a fun way. We think that it would have been a great way for it to have been named. But, no, we have fun, and we honor... for instance, Tommy Bartlett, who was a huge figure here in the Dells, and a lot of people that come to the show knew Tommy, and so we feel we've named one of our characters after him. So that's a lot of fun, and plus we do little takeouts on the names of the different resorts here. That some of those were supposed to be the early names of the Dells. So, we have fun.
So, again, that's Tim from Sneaky Pete's Wild West Show. And you want to share a little of the music from the show?
Yes, this is kind of the finale song. And what's cool about this is on the stage, they show videos of, like, all of the different things, like the Kalahari and all of the things that make the Dells. And it's just quite a big show, the big finale at the end. And here's part of this original song.
By by the way, that's Dell's Yacht, lest you think it's closely resembles a particular country song that's out there. And one more attraction you want to tell folks about.
Yeah, of course, there's a lot of things to do downtown. Still, when you walk downtown, you go to the fudge shops and the stores and, you know, grab Adele's t-shirt. But there's also Wizard Quest and Ripley's Believe It or Not. And this is Karen from Ripley's Believe It or Not.
Interactive Art Museum. So now the museum is 80 to 90% odd and unusual art. We're still planning on getting some more stuff in. But the entire concept was art you could touch and interact with and actually do cool things with or make sounds or things like that.
Lots of kitschy oddities.
Kitschy oddities.
Yeah, shrunken heads and different artwork. Emery likes to go in there all of the time too. But favorite thing, downtown Wizard Quest.
Okay. And, you know, to be clear, we've made this case before here, is that Wisconsin Dells could not be what it is and could not be the cog to the economy that it is without so many people from other nations who come and work there for a season or for a year.
Yes. And, you know, when you go to these places, a lot of them, especially like Noah's Ark, when you go there, they all have name tags and the country they're from. So we saw Romania, Spain, and I explained this to Emery that, well, you know, listen to them and because you can hear and talk to them because they're all from another country and they stay in the dorms there. They have so many people coming and they have a program, you know, it's students that are there and working all summer and then they go back to school at the end of the summer. So yes, there are a lot of workers coming from all over the world.
Yes, it's a true melting pot. And that, again, that is part of the attraction. And I think it's something we take for granted because it's right in our literal backyard. But I like the fact that, you know, a good Wisconsin girl like you hasn't forgotten about the Dells and makes it an annual trip. An epic adventure, you like to say.
Epic adventure, we call it. And the rock formations, we learn so much when you go on the Dells Ducks and all of that about upper and lower Dells and the Wisconsin River. So it's history, too.
And it all started because the Dells are the Dells, the natural formation that it is. Thank you, Selena. Have a great day.
You do.
All right. When we come back, Matt Rothschild and Marissa Strino will talk about citizen initiatives to make changes to the law or the Constitution after the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to our mornings powered by Up North News here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Coming up on Matt and Air on Air, right off the top at 9:05, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, candidate for governor in the 2026 election, will be joining Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach. Also later, Shali Pittman, Civic Media's news director, will talk about some of the stories that you might have missed from over the weekend. And then later today on the Maggie Dawn Show from 4 until 6 o'clock, there will be a discussion on opposing viewpoints, progressive Democrats versus centrist Democrats. And is it a case of versus, or is it a distinction without that much of a difference? Well, that'll be part of the discussion involving Maggie Dawn and guest co-host Matt Rothschild, who coincidentally is right here right now. Matt Rothschild joins us along with Maurice Estrano. And Marisa is from Deputy Director of Political Reform at New America. Matt Rothschild, of course, hosts the Wisconsin Forward podcast on the Civic Media Radio Network. And together, they recently co-authored an article that I saw in the Wisconsin State Journal that is titled Give Wisconsin Voters More Say Through Ballot Initiatives. Matt and Marisa, good morning to you both.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Hey, Pat. Good to be on with you.
Yeah. Well, Matt, good to be on with you. You're the one that's on more often than me or any other host here. You're like Civic Media should be your middle name or something. You're everywhere.
I'm paying rent here in the studio.
That's great. No, it's wonderful to have you here. So Matt, since you're the hometown fellow there, let's have you start and then we'll go to Maurice after that about what prompted this column about ballot initiatives in Wisconsin.
Well, I got to give credit to Marisa. She reached out to me. She's been working on, and her organization's been working on, this idea of defending direct democracy, the right of citizens to go to referendum and pass a bill that they want to pass, or overturn a bill that they don't like, or amend the Constitution if they want to. I also, coincidentally, this is dear to my heart, I wrote a book a few years back called 12 Ways to Save Democracy in Wisconsin. And one of those chapters was, give us direct democracy. So we decided to team up and write this little op-ed.
Well, then let's turn that over to Marisa as well. Marisa, tell us more about New America. And again, you know, the impetus for, you know, making this kind of a push for citizen initiative.
Sure. Yeah. Thanks for teeing me up, Matt and Pat, too. Really appreciate you having us on to talk about this piece. So at New America, I work in the political reform program, in which we explore, do research, and try to socialize a whole swath of ideas for how to make our democracy work better for more people, in a nutshell. So sometimes that means reforming the way we do elections. Sometimes that means pioneering and supporting, lifting up new models of civic engagement, like citizens' assemblies. And we sort of have this gap between improving representative democracy and improving deliberative democracy, in which direct democracy kind of fit. And what we were thinking was that there are all these efforts underway by state legislatures across the country to roll back initiative and referendum powers, to restrict that process. And defense is happening, that which is great. But what we're not seeing, we have not been seeing in decades, and in some ways over a century, is a real effort to expand access to citizen-led ballot measures like the initiative and the referendum. To new states, because currently only half of U.S. states allow their citizens to petition to change laws, to put new ideas on the ballot, or to repeal existing laws, as Matt said before. So when we started scoping the landscape to see what activity was already happening within states to amend their constitutions, to establish a new process, to allow citizens this power, we realized there was very little happening. And much of that is because it doesn't feel possible. So what we did was we developed a methodology to evaluate a state's readiness to bring on a new process like this within the current very polarized, very nationalized, very difficult political landscape for reform. And we looked at different indicators, social, political, socioeconomic, civic indicators of a state's readiness for reform. And what we found was, and actually it sort of aligned with my initial expectations when setting out to do this project, that Wisconsin was the most promising candidate to come online, to be the first state to come online for many decades as the newest state and state within an initiative process. And that was exciting. And I connected with Matt through a mutual colleague. And I said, is this something that you might be interested in starting to talk about a little bit more? Like, what do you know about what's happening on the ground? And it just felt like there was a lot of synergy there. So we decided to say, you know, let's write something and see if we can kick up some interest and see if that can sort of nudge the issue a little bit forward. Again, there is some interest already, but we are just interested in seeing how far we can take it.
So Matt, in Wisconsin, what might that look like? And help folks understand maybe what it is they could do if the rules were changed. I mean, when I think at first blush, I can think of people not knowing, are they looking to change a law, a statute on the books, or are they looking to amend the Constitution? I mean, it's one thing to say we're going to have initiative and referendum, but, you know, where are the guidelines? What's going to help citizens to not only want to do this, but also use it efficiently?
Well, thanks for asking, Pat. Let me give you an example. Everyone listening, I'm sure, remembers 2011 and Scott Walker and Act 10 and the rollback of union rights here in Wisconsin. Well, a similar thing was tried in Ohio a couple of months after Walker did it here. And the people of Ohio rose up and said, no, we don't want to take away the rights of public sector unions in Ohio. And at that time, and they still do have the power of referendum. And so they signed a petition. They got plenty of people to passed the threshold that you needed for petition signatures to get the referendum on the books and said, we're going to roll back this thing that Kasich, the governor of Ohio, the Republican, passed through the legislature there, and essentially the people got a veto. So there was no successful assault on labor rights in Ohio. Ohio and Michigan have the right of referendum, binding referendum that the people can put on the ballot. In Michigan a couple years ago, a single individual started an initiative process to get on the ballot in Michigan the idea to ban gerrymandering. And that got overwhelming support, too. So they banned gerrymandering by referendum. It would be sweet if we could do that here, too.
Marisa, in terms of unintended consequences, and I'm not saying this is a reason not to do this, but are we then saying if we start to open up this door to these kinds of citizen-led initiatives that an electorate that is already weary of statewide campaigns for governor and U.S. Senate, and now statewide campaigns, you know, for Supreme Court justices have become so politicized, are we kind of opening the door to another wave of these, but this time with particular ballot issues? And how do we, can we do anything to make sure that those don't just become the next round of multi-million dollar, you know, political battles that leave voters unsure of what exactly they're voting on?
That's such a good point. Nobody is arguing that this is a perfect vehicle for achieving policy change. The initiative is what I like to call a kind of a pressure release valve. It's more of an in case of emergency when the legislature really isn't delivering on what the majority of the public wants, rather than a substitute for representative democracy. It's not perfect. It has become an extremely professionalized and expensive way to change policy. It does bring in a lot of money and a lot of unwelcome money into states. There's no secret about that. Most notoriously, we see that happen in California, which of course has a different political culture and is a, you know, has a zillion media markets within that drive up costs. But the bottom line is it is expensive, and there's almost no way to avoid when you're dealing with salient issues like abortion protections, for example. There's almost no way to avoid the money. However, there are some ways to address the money question, one of which is to design a process such that citizens do not feel that they always need to take the amendment route, the constitutional amendment route. There are different types of initiative. One is you're changing a state statute. That usually has lower thresholds, so lower signatures. It costs less money to run those campaigns. Then there's the constitutional amendment route. That is more expensive. Citizens have been taking that option more and more and more unnecessarily in recent years because they fear legislative interference in the post-passage and implementation process. It feels more secure. So by when you are thinking about bringing a process to a new state, you get to think about how to make the model work better. And we haven't had an opportunity like that in many, many, many moons. But if a new state like Wisconsin were to adopt its own process, it would have the opportunity to learn from what other states have done wrong, such as how to make it a little bit cheaper to run a campaign, how to make sure that the fiscal reviews that are performed are done by independent bodies. In terms of confusing ballot language, you should not need a postgraduate degree in order to decipher the language of a ballot measure.
Amen.
Right now, you do in many cases. And there are mechanisms that you can put in place to ensure that that language is easily, is intelligible, is legible to a general electorate, and also to ensure that there are voter guides that go out, you know, alongside your ballot or beforehand, so that people have other ways to learn about the ballot measure and the stakes associated with that measure.
And Matt, I feel like we are maybe simplistically killing two birds with one stone. But if I had the power to do this, I think the first thing I'd be pushing for would be some way to limit the amount or influence of money in Wisconsin politics.
Yeah, we got to solve that problem too. But this power of binding referendum is important. important. Look, we're not getting what we want in Wisconsin. The vast majority of people in Wisconsin want Medicaid expansion. They want legalized marijuana. They want more spending on public education. And we're just getting stymied time and time again by the logjam here in the Capitol. So let's give the people a little more power.
And so before we wrap up here, Marisa and Marisa Strano from New America, can you tell us a bit about the group and how people can learn more about New America?
Sure. We are a Washington, D.C. based think tank. And if you are interested in learning more about our democracy work generally or about this project specifically, you just go to newamerica.org/political reform. We have a new report that lays out our methodology. We have a list of lessons and takeaways from the history of ballot initiative adoption, which happened mostly during the progressive era, the early 20th century, and other tools. You can also email me. I'm easy to find on the website. And I'd be happy to talk to anybody in Wisconsin who's interested in learning more and taking this issue forward.
All right. And again, newamerica.org would be the address there. And Marisa Strano is the Deputy Director of Political Reform. And Matt Rothschild, of course, is everywhere, including on the Maggie Dawn Show later today, which, again, I hope you continue this conversation and this topic. It's a very important one and gives citizens, you know, one more tool to feel like they're in charge of their democracy and not outside forces. Matt, thank you so much. We'll hear you this afternoon with Maggie. And Marisa, thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks a lot, Pat.
Thank you.
All right. Good to have you both. Have a wonderful day. And when we come back, some of you will have a local update. We'll be visiting here with Jimmy Cuska from Civic Media, talking about the Brewers and that franchise record 14-game winning streak before it got snapped yesterday. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
We're going to play two today with the Cubs to kick off five games in 4 days at Wrigley Field. Brewers and Cubs game one, making up an earlier rainout. 12:45 pregame begins on several Civic Media stations, and then again tonight, the regularly scheduled game. Pregame begins at 6:30, and it's on the Brewers that we bring up Civic Media Sports Director Jimmy Cuska to kind of revel in a weekend. I mean, yeah, it's sad to have had the streak come to an end at 14 games, but to tie it on Friday and to set a new record on Saturday, those games were just magical. They were fun. And I mean, even in the loss yesterday, tying it or going ahead in the ninth inning, only to lose it later. Just great games, Jimmy. This is a fun season.
So there's two things. One, it's the way they did it. I mean, look at the way that these games ended over the weekend. I mean, it's just incredible when you're following a team and you have a ride like this. It's certainly memorable. You know, I remember watching Moneyball a few weeks ago. Just it was on and I didn't change the channel, and they had that the big winning streak in the middle of the season, right after they had a slow start to the year. Well, there's shades of that with the Brewers. They had that slow start with the torpedo bats and the Yankees and all at the beginning of the year. Now they find themselves clearly ahead of everybody in all of Major League Baseball. The other thing is that all of these close games as of late and some of these finishes, this is playoff like atmosphere. There's things at stake. There's tension. There's drama. I mean, these are all great things to help you prepare for what you hope will be a deep postseason run here coming up in about 6 weeks.
For folks that might have missed it, let's just go ahead and relive the magic here, because on Friday, the Brewers were down 8-1 in the second inning. And I thought, well, that's it. I mean, Cincinnati put up 7 in the second inning. Jacob Mizorowski just could not get it done on Friday night. He was done after what, an inning and a third, I think, something like that. And so the Brewers are down 8-1, but then they come back with 5 in the third and 2 more in the fourth. And next thing you know, the game is tied. And then they go on to win that game 10-8 after being down 8-1 on Friday. And then Saturday's game in Cincinnati, again, they were down until they scored 3 runs in the top of the 11th. That was Andrew Monasterio's home run, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yep. And what's fun about the Brewers is that it's not like when CeCe Sabathia carried the Brewers into the playoffs back, what, 12 years ago or whatever. It's been a little bit of everybody. Somebody different has stepped to the plate each night to deliver big for them, whether it's been a pitcher going the distance, whether it's been a batter having some clutch at bats, or even the games where they just pound opponents and, you know, everybody's getting multiple hits in a game. It's been a team effort to get to that point. And that's what's really exciting about this, is because it's not the Brewers relying on just a handful of guys to get them over the finish line. This is top to bottom, a team that is getting the job done and doing it at an extremely, extremely good level.
And by the way, Monasterio's three-run homer in the 11th inning on Saturday. Good thing he got that, because the Reds came out and got two more of their own in the bottom of the 11th and very nearly pulled off the win there. And then, of course, they did yesterday, beating the Brewers. But again, it took extra innings. The Brewers got two runs in the top of the ninth, only to give up one in the bottom of the ninth and then one in the bottom of the 10th to lose to the Reds 3-2. And in that case, Jimmy, yesterday, you could just feel the team saying, look, if we got to let this one go, we can't be stretching the bullpen any thinner when you got five games coming up against the Cubs.
Yeah, this is a brutal stretch right now, and a lot of it has to do with having to play these five games in 4 days against the Cubs. You hope they get it all done today, too, because there's a lot of rain today here along the state line, Wisconsin and Illinois. The good news is, though, the rest of the week, it looks great. So they'll get these five games in the next 4 days. If there's any delays, they'll just have to rearrange one of these other days. But there are bigger things at stake. And for the Brewers, this series against the Cubs, this is the last time they play the Cubs, I think. So there's they have an 8-game lead right now in the division. I don't really see them dropping all five, but they could certainly do themselves some favors. If they take 3 of 5, not only do they pull at least a game away from the Cubs in the division, but they would also own that crucial tiebreaker should they for some reason end up tied at the end of the year. That's big, especially for a division race. Right now, the Brewers and Cubs have the best run differentials in the National League and in all of baseball, I think. So there's a lot at stake the next 5 days. It'll feel like the playoffs here in Chicago.
And by the way, the three games, and these were three big and exciting games, but I mean, don't run out of gas, kids. This last Thursday was their last day off before a stretch of, I think it's 18 games in 17 days before they get a day off the day after Labor Day. So there's a lot of baseball yet ahead for these guys. And you mentioned the Cubs and Craig Counsell. And I saw a story yesterday that Craig Counsell said something like, oh, I've never even been to a George Webb. And of course, naturally, the internet being what it is, people found the social media posts that Craig Counsell put up from a few years back talking about George Webb and the hamburgers and everything else. So it was borderline disingenuous to hear Craig Counsell talking. I know he's feeling a lot of pressure being the Cubs manager, watching the Brewers, doing what they're doing right now. And so for Counsell to kind of take this almost dismissive tone of Milwaukee, it puts even more energy into these next 4 days, these five games.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate because I think that, for anybody in that situation where you're being offered the largest contract to manage a baseball team in history, you're probably doing it. But it is a little weird in a way too. But all things said, I think we're going to be much more interested in what happens on the field rather than off of it. And obviously this is a massive series for both teams.
Yeah. And the Packers won their preseason game in Indianapolis. Yeah, it's preseason. And then high school football kicks off this week. We're going to talk about that on Wednesday morning, I assume.
Yes. The first games will be Thursday. Some teams will play Thursday. Most of the rest will play Friday. It is here. The fastest 9 weeks in all of sports begins this week. So I'm excited.
Here we go. Civic Media Sports Director Jimmy Koska. Jimmy, thank you very much. Have a great day.
You too.
All right. Along the way, in our next hour, Brittany Merlot's updated forecast. We may hear from Dr. Kristen Lyerly as well, freshly back from Peru. Remember, you can follow my team from Up North News all day long through our newsletters, social media, our website, upnorthnewswi.com, and, of course, right here, mornings, powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.